Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast via Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors close out the month of March with a 1-13 record. Wow, one win in the whole month. Losing by a score of 113-103 against the Oklahoma City Thunder, a team that was without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lu Dort, Al Horford's been shut down for the year. And, you know, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, I haven't, don't recognize most of these players who were playing for the Thunder. You know, obviously they've gone through some changes, they got some new players, and, I mean, a lot of those new players look pretty good. You know, Svi Mihailuk, fresh off killing the Raptors as a Piston, comes over to OKC to kill the Raptors once again, which is actually, you know, real sad, because we actually saw, obviously, the Raptors lose to the Pistons, and that was that trade that they did with Hamidou Diallo going the other way, and Diallo killed us the other night, too. So, really, both ends of the trade really killed the Raptors, and I mean... I feel honestly like really sad talking about these games, not from my own perspective. I feel sad for the players. And I know like maybe sometimes it's hard to sympathize with them because, I mean, you know, they make millions of dollars and things like that. And I'm not asking you to cry for millionaires. I'm not asking anyone to cry. I'm just sort of acknowledging the situation and how I feel. For me personally, I feel really bad for the guys right now. They are down really bad. And it's impossible to, I mean, when you talk to these guys, it's hard not to sympathize with them, you know, and obviously as media, like, we get to talk to these guys after the game. I'm sure these guys don't want to talk. I'm sure the last thing they want to do is talk. I'm sure they want to just get on the plane and go wherever and, you know, just rest and whatnot. But, I mean, it was hard to sit through that post-game press interview, especially with Fred VanVleet, who, you know, if you've heard any of the Raptors scrums, he's the most eloquent player on the team. He's such a insightful voice, such a, you know, not even like a beacon of optimism so much as he's such a real dude. Like, he's really always going to tell you what's real. He's going to give you something insightful. He's going to say when the shit stinks, and he's going to say when things are good. But he's the guy. And he's the most mature guy in the room most of the time. Obviously, him and Kyle, the leaders of the team. And, you know, good or bad, Fred is made available. Some guys are made available because they had good games. But Fred is just available. And who speaks for the team after bad losses? And there's been plenty of bad losses. That tells you about who's, you know, in charge of the team. And to see Fred as dejected as he was, man, with his head down, couldn't even really, like, keep his head up to just, like, talk to the camera in front of them, right? While we obviously virtually call in. And to hear his voice, like, not even necessarily what he said, even though I thought what he said was very revealing, as always, but it's the dejection in his voice. And you could definitely sense that it's frustrating. It's probably a lot of emotions for these guys, but it's not happy. And I think that's just very important. No matter what you're doing, no matter what profession you're working in, or any sort of space that you're in, if you're not happy, like, you know, there's nothing that really compensates for that feeling. At the end of the day, humans, like, we can create a lot of material things. We can have a lot of material possessions, material whatever, but, you know, happiness is immaterial, and, like, to see these guys down the way they are, it's really hard. And what Fred talked about was sort of, like, you know, the conditioning wall for these guys has just been so tough. Like, you know, I asked him, I was like, you know, you're playing the most minutes on the team. This guy played 39 minutes tonight on the road, shorthanded roster, and I'll get to that in a sec. But how are you, like, feeling and everything like that? And, you know, for him, he just said, look, three of the guys that you would expect to be the best players on the team, you know, Pascal, OG, you know, himself, Fred, like, you, they're just hitting conditioning walls, and it's just, like, killing this team, and it's killing them as well. You know, and he said it, like, they could play well for stretches, really good, and then they just completely burn out, and we see that, and that's probably why the Raptors keep, you know, just falling short in the second half. Raptors had 32 points in the first quarter, 35 in the second quarter, 22 in the third, and 14 in the fourth. You could tell, you could see the graph of their production trending downward, and you could see Pascal, you know, not having it. I mean, he got to the free throw line a lot early. You're like, wow, he looks really active, looks really lively. Second half, had nothing. OG battled really hard. But, you know, his shots were really wayward. I mean, when was the last time OG shot an air ball? We're seeing air balls from OG. We're seeing Fred shoot 5 of 17. And I know people are getting down on him for the shooting percentages. I mean, yeah, of course, you can. Everyone's held accountable. The results are what they are. But he's taking shots that are there for him. Shots that are good for him. Especially with the condition of the team. Shots that you need him to take. And he's just missing them. There's no lift, no explosion, nothing. And you can say, well, listen, man, it's not like when Fred is pre-COVID was like Derrick Rose before the knee, like anything like that. No, but, you know, Fred can get his body to guys, muscle it up. You know, obviously he's got a layup package around the basket in terms of his craftiness. Not necessarily in terms of his shooting percentage, but just craftiness. You're not seeing much of that. You're seeing a lot of him getting blocked. And, you know, I mean, I feel for these guys, man. Second half, the Raptors had nothing. First half, they were good. Second half, they had nothing. And when you just, like, take a step back and sort of take account of the team as a whole, they're in a really tough spot. Here's who's injured. So, just from today, before the game, Kyle Lowry has announced that he's out. He's got this toe issue that apparently, you know, bothered him last game. He sat out the game before that with this toe issue. So, Kyle's apparently going to miss 7 to 10 games. Hopefully, basically, that's just, like, let's give him some time off and see how it reacts. Seems like he apparently got some treatment. It didn't do well. So he's out, right? Obviously a big piece of the team, Kyle Lowry is. And then you have Rodney Hood, who, you know, had already come in and basically established that, oh, look, he can actually do something off the bench. The Raptors badly need someone to do something off the bench. Let's see what Rodney Hood has for us. And he's hurt. And according to Nick, he's going to get an MRI. And Nick did not sound optimistic about his outlook for the next few games, if not for the next few months. And Rodney's a guy who's had a long injury history, so he's out. Stanley Johnson tweaked his ankle today. Nick said he should be fine, you know, afterwards, but okay. You know, he was not available other than today. And then you got Pat McCaw, who is coming off, you know, knee surgery. He's having knee swelling again. That's not a good thing. You know, hopefully, I mean, we'll see what happens, but that's something that could threaten his career. You know, it's not just a game-to-game thing. That's looking bad. Jalen Harris has a hip pointer, which, okay. And that does it for your injuries. So that's five guys. And then two more guys in Paul Watson and DeAndre Bembry are out with COVID-19 protocols. And I don't want to speculate, and the Raptors never, ever tell us, because I think they're trying to keep it as a health privacy thing. But they will not tell you if the guys are positive. But these guys are not just like contact tracing, right? Because if that was the case, they would go through the protocol, you know, come in contact, you know, submit three negative tests in like 3 days, and then they can come back. It's been longer than that. So you can speculate as to what that means for those two guys who did not make the road trip, who are presumptively isolating. And so that's seven guys that are out. And then you look at the actual roster itself, right? One of the biggest issues is there's only been like five guys that can contribute, right? Six, like five and a half with Boucher. Boucher does it half the time, but honestly, it does feel like he gives a lot of it back. And so, whatever, if you want to include Chris, that's fine. He's in a downstretch right now, but obviously, I mean, it wasn't going to always have 20 and 10 as he started the season with. But basically five guys that you rely on nightly basis, right? So Kyle's out of that five, you got four. And then three of those guys are coming off COVID. right? So Fred, OG, and Pascal, these guys play, and you see them play with great stretches at times, right? We saw them play with great stretches against Portland, great stretches against Detroit, great stretches tonight in the first half. I thought all three of those guys were doing great. Fred had four freaking blocks in the first quarter. And Pascal was getting to free throw line repeatedly. OG was making good moves. Now, those guys can only basically play half a game. And then the fourth guy, the last remaining guy who is available at the moment is Gary Trent Jr., who just arrived in a trade for Norman Powell, and today gave you a Norm-esque performance. 31 points, 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 2 steals, 12 of 22 from the field, 6 of 11 from 3. I mean, damn, that looks like a Norm stat line to me. But he literally just got here. And, like, I think the team's going to need to, like, you know, learn how to run plays and stuff like that and everything like that. I mean, he was very successful tonight, career high, but in any case, it didn't matter. And that's where the team is at. The other guys on the team don't really contribute positively towards winning on a consistent basis. You know? And what I mean is, like, Chris gives a lot of it back. You know, you really would like to see him step up, you know, in terms of defensive rebound. The Raptors got killed, offensive rebounding again. Utah, you know, my guy, but, like, come on, man. 7 minutes, comes in, does nothing. Doesn't even get a rebound. I mean, that's basically what he's in for. Took one contested three, got pulled, came back in, didn't do much. Okay, Stanley comes in. 4 fouls in 18 minutes. And, I at least half his fouls are just, like, the over-aggression type where he's just banging into a guy for no reason. But he had some driving layups, you know, okay. He also had, when the Raptors were in a close game in the fourth quarter, he also ripped the rebound and drove 1-on-4 like he was LeBron and got blocked. And the floor balance was so thrown off by his sudden move that the Thunder got a 2-on-1 fast break for a layup. And this was like in a one-possession game. That's unacceptable in any level of basketball. Malachi Flynn, who is a rookie, who hasn't really done much. Today, minus 17 on the game in 20 minutes. I thought he was okay. He played some good defense, you know, but offensively hasn't really been able to generate anything, really. You know, he's willing to pass, but he's not, like, breaking down the defense and creating something for his teammates. He's sort of, like, running through the options, which is fine. Like, I'm not expecting him to come in and be Chris Paul, but, like, you know, there's only so much you can really say about 2 points and 2 assists in 20 minutes. And then Rodney got hurt. So those are your options today. And then, of course, you have Aaron Baines in the middle, who got the start tonight. And, I mean, he had 0 points on the stat line, on 0 of 3 shooting, got blocked twice, missed the three badly. But it should really say -3, because he picked up a tech for having an offensive rebound, like, roll through his hands, and then him complaining to the ref that he got pushed. And the ref was like, no, I'm going to give you a T. I'm tired of this, man. And the other 2 points, he was trying to box out for a defensive rebound, which he got 0 tonight. And in the process of battling for that defensive rebound, accidentally put the ball back into his own net. So that's -3. Quite frankly, I should say -3. Those are your options. This is what's happening right now. So, yes, Gary can have a career high, and that doesn't matter. Like, the Raptors can shoot well from three for the first bit, and that doesn't really matter. Like, it's not even a game at the moment, and I'm not trying to make excuses for these guys. Like, I think, you know, there's obviously room to, like, assess where they are as players. I think there is, you know, time for that. It's a fair opportunity to look at, you know, these games. Obviously, the Raptors are losing, but how are these guys responding to a losing? I'm just saying, when you factor in all the circumstances, you got 5 guys hurt, 2 guys sick, you got only really 5 guys that are good on the team, 4 of them in the roster tonight, 3 of them with coming off COVID, still impacted. Those guys playing, by the way, Pascal 38 minutes, OG 36 minutes, Fred 39, so it's not like these guys are just, like, going for a walk in the park and having 25 minutes. No, these guys are playing hard, heavy minutes, the hardest minutes. And they're losing. And you might say, well, listen, it doesn't really matter. The Thunder, man. I mean, come on. Like, they're missing their best players, right? Like, no Shea. Lou Dort's out. Al Horford. I mean, yo, if you asked anybody on the street, name 3 Thunder players, first off, no one would say anybody, really. You would have to be a real diehard fan. But, like, those are the only 3 guys that you can really associate as, like, okay, mentally, in my mind, they're Thunder players. Because, really, did you know about all some of these other guys, man? They're starting Mary Browns at center. You know, I thought Chris Boucher was doing a chicken commercial. I mean, you know, this is where it's at. And you might say, well, the Raptors should at least beat that team. I don't really see the Raptors beating any team at the moment. And I don't think that necessarily means the Raptors are the worst team in the league. But the circumstances, on top of the fact that just like how mentally broken these guys are, like, I don't know if the Raptors will get 5 more wins the rest of the season. I mean, probably they will, because they have a soft stretch coming up and all this other stuff. Yo, the Pistons were part of that soft stretch, man. The Thunder are part of this soft stretch. They're just not in a position where they can succeed whatsoever. And it doesn't even feel like the contests are any fun, any value to the guys. Who knows? They have a day off. They can come back. You know, they can be a little bit restored. I would hope for their sake that they're a little bit restored and they can do something there. But, man, I hope something comes of it. I hope something is valuable in terms of like what the front office can assess from the situation. But to be honest, just let the guys get through this. Like, you know, we can make assessments later. We really can. We just, when we get some fresh bodies in, when we can get like anybody around to like actually be on the roster and to actually have something resembling a fair fight, to have something resembling of a full rotation, maybe then we can kind of look at it. I mean, I just feel bad for these guys. I feel so bad for these guys, man. And again, it goes back to the top. If you don't want to feel bad for millionaires, you know, listen, you know, that's fine, man. But I don't know. It is what it is. These guys are down really bad. So in terms of the positive from this game, really only one positive was Gary Trent Jr., who had a career high 31 points. Weirdly, he had his previous career high also against the Thunder, 30 points, I believe, last season. And I liked what Gary brought. First off, you know, as I mentioned earlier, already a very Norm-esque stat line, 32-0-2. And you know, I think with Gary, it's similar to Norm in the sense that, like, you know, he has that athleticism in the open court to, you know, play for steals and things like that. Norm was really good at it. Obviously, Norm had a longer wingspan. I think maybe Gary has a little bit better instincts, although I can't really tell based on just, like, a few games I've seen him. But, you know, I like that portion of this game. And he seems like a natural three-point shooter. I mean, this is the thing. When he was missing the threes in the first few games, it was really odd to watch because I'm like, I know this guy can shoot. You don't take 7.5 threes a game and hit 40% and not be a guy who can shoot. And Trent showed it tonight. He'd be 6 of 11 from 3. Made 2 threes early on. His first quarter, he had 10 points. One possession, Pascal threw him kind of a grenade in the sense that it was like 4 seconds left and Pascal wasn't really doing much with the ball. Dumped it to Gary. Not a set play. Gary got into the paint, got in for a floater. I was, you know, listen, if you can do something with 4 seconds, that's very impressive. Then he hit 2 threes. Then he got, I think, a steal for a breakaway dunk. And kind of just was in the rhythm of the game the rest of the way. I think that first quarter really set him up nicely. And there were some stretches where they were kind of like overemphasizing him. I thought, you know, in the fourth quarter in particular, they were just giving him the ball and letting him run the offense. And that's not his game. Like, he's not a guy you just give the ball to, give him a high screen, and he just magically produces something. Like, that's not the type of scorer that he is. He still is a guy who, if you run sets for him, he's going to be better that way. But, you know, I think this is a game to get excited about Gary Trent in the sense that, like, I know we obviously all miss Norm, especially after reading that Players Tribune letter. I mean, my goodness, was that emotional and so much nostalgia and so much love wrapped in, you know, you just so rarely see it in such a granular form from players. And I think that's probably why the Players Tribune exists. But in any case, if you haven't read that already, read that Players Tribune article by Norm. But yeah, I mean, you're getting a lot of what Norm used to do through Gary. And of course, it's going to take Gary some time to learn everything. I know we're all very eager. It seems like every time we speak to Gary in the press, we're always asking him, like, hey, man, have you learned the offense yet? And it's just sort of like, yo, they've had one practice. Guys are in and out of the lineup. His role is changing. He's new. Like, yo, just let him talk to OG about PlayStation and fashion or something, man. Like, just let him chill for a sec, okay? Please, let him breathe. But in any case, yeah, he's he's promising for sure. And I think, you know, we've seen the mid-range game that's there for him. He seems to, especially when he comes off the high screen, you can get to that mid-range pull-up, look smooth. The Raptors also ran a set play for Gary right before the end of the third quarter where Raptors got two screens, including Gary as one of the screeners. Then a screen-to-screener action, the ball reversed to Gary. Gary got downhill off that sort of sequence and got to the rim, got two free throws out of it, split the pair of free throws. But after that, he stole the inbound, and with like 2 seconds left in the third quarter, he takes a step back three from the corner, drains the three. That was awesome to watch. And, you know, fourth quarter, you know, he didn't really get as much, but I think everyone kind of faded by the fourth. I liked what I saw from Gary, man, and I'm really encouraged by it. I think, obviously, the ability to turn that defense into scoring is very valuable. The Raptors really like those two-way type players. And I don't really see that many issues with him defensively either. I think, you know, especially as a team defender, it's very noticeable when you're watching games if you're a bad team defender. And I don't really see Gary standing out in that sense. In fact, I already see Gary when he's out there with the bench lineups telling people where they're supposed to be. And that's wild to me because some of these guys have been through multiple practices, been here multiple games, been here multiple months, sometimes multiple years, and they're still out of position. Gary just got here a week ago and he's like already being like, you're supposed to be here, you're supposed to be here. So I like Gary, you know, talking about what I'm trying to say. And it is promising. In terms of other things that I found interesting from this game, it was really evident early on that they were running a lot of Norm's plays for OG Anunoby. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, Raptors used to always love to set two screens on the side, have the shooter come off, and whether, you know, he's lifting for a three or he's sees a gap in the defense and goes downhill with the ball, the point is to give him with some momentum coming off two screens, catching the ball, and making a quick decision. And that's something Norm used to do so well. Obviously, he's rehearse these plays. He's, you know, he's built for these plays. He really is, right? You can use his athleticism to burst to the basket. He's obviously a good shooter as well. You know, just a bread and butter play for Norm Powell. And they were running out for OG. And then they had another play where Raptors really love to run this, especially after timeouts. But the hammer play where they run a pick and roll on one side of the floor. Guard kind of goes towards the baseline on the other side of the floor. A big usually screens for the shooter who moves towards the corner, and the goal is to throw a baseline pass to the corner shooter and give him an open three. And they used to run that for Norm all the time. That's what they were trying to run at the end of game seven, by the way, when people kept saying that Fred dribbled out the clock. No, the Celtics sniffed out that play, and so the Raptors were stuck. They were trying to get three in that play. In any case, yeah, they were trying to run that for, you know, they ran that for Norm all the time, and they ran that for OG today. And you know, I think the success is going to be varied. First off, I think part of the reason why they're running it for OG is because, listen, you need more practice time for Gary to run some of these things, or maybe even run them successfully. That's one. And I think, too, like, you know, you just kind of need someone to operate off ball. And of course, if you look at that starting five, if it wasn't going to be Gary, Fred's going to have the ball, so he's not really going to do it. Pascal's shooting terribly from three this year. Baines is Baines. And so it's pretty much just OG. And you know, it's interesting to me to see OG run these sets because I think you see his offense. He's obviously more predicated on, like, strength, you know, his post-up game, you know, his maybe using his size to shoot over top of people. But, you know, listen, get him on the move. Let him see what he can do. Listen, the whole season is wins and lessons at this point. And really, there's not a lot of wins. There's just a lot of learning to do. And OG's basically getting basketball Kuma at this point. You know, and OG, you know, the offense obviously is going to be something where if you force feed him shots, he's eventually going to, you know, start fading a little bit. I mean, on top of the COVID and everything like that, OG's just not a guy who you look at his game and you say, wow, this guy's built to score in heavy volume. No, that's not his game. But I liked his compete level. Defensively, it was really high. I mean, first off, he got 11 rebounds, which led the Raptors. No one else. Pascal was second with 7 rebounds. You know, obviously, can't expect your center to rebound. Baines with 2. Man, watching Aaron Baines in the starting lineup, I mean, look at the points, man. 14, 20, 18, and 31, right? And the middle is 0. And, you know, you might say, well, listen, you know, points is a very shallow way to look at the game of basketball. That's fine, man. But honestly, the way I'm watching the starting lineup, you know, it's like seeing Baines is like the raisins in a potato salad at the moment, man. It's really tough to watch. But in any case, OG competing really hard. 3 steals, a block. Down the stretch, I mean, this guy was like, whoever was going, whether it was Isaiah Robbie, you know, obviously he can get going, obviously. Svi Mihaluk, you know, he can get going. OG was guarding him as well. I mean, it was just sort of like, yo, OG was just trying to guard whoever was most liable to score, and he was pressuring these guys into, you know, shot clock violations. And honestly, shot clock violations were the only way the Raptors can actually get the defensive rebound, because they were not securing anything. And again, I just feel bad for these guys. So, yeah, I liked what OG brought today. I mean, I've generally liked what OG has done, you know, since coming back. He's done his best. And even a guy like Fred, I know, man, people are looking at the shooting percentages and killing my guy for that, and it's fine, man. It's fine. It's totally fair to do that. But 18 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals, 4 blocks. He had 4 blocks in the first quarter alone. And I know a lot of these blocks are like stripping the ball as guys go up. So you can say, well, that's not really a block, that's a steal. That's kind of semantics. And then, you know, honestly, if Fred had his way, he would actually just prefer those to be called steals instead, because, you know, otherwise he would be the steals leader, at least in per game. But those are still plays at the rim where guys are looking to shoot and he's taking the ball away. So I don't mind that being called a block, because it does, you know, stop a shot attempt. And if you look at his season, Fred VanVleet now has 33 blocks, which is second on the team. Chris Boucher is first with like 90-something. But Fred VanVleet is second on the team in blocks with 33. Aaron Baines, for comparison, as the starting center, has 18 total blocks all year. There's like a month and a half left in the season, and Fred has almost double the amount of blocks that Baines has. It's actually mind-boggling to think about the fact that Fred VanVleet, at 5'10", has that many blocks. But, you know, that's Fred. He competes hard. He scraps. You know, he took some shots that were open today, missed them. I didn't have any issues with the shot selection today. I really didn't. You know, I think early on he was able to pull up for three and hit those. And later in the game, you know, wasn't as effective. Just seemed like his legs were gone from him. But I didn't think the shots that he took today were bad. Maybe one or two drives ended a little poorly. But, I mean, on the whole, as a guy who created offense, you know, aside from Gary, like, no one else was really efficient. I'm not really going to blame Fred, especially when he has freaking 5 steals and 4 blocks, man. In any case, people are going to shit on the players. I get it. And I'm not saying that, like, yo, you can't evaluate, you can't make comments. I'm not, you know, not legislating any of that, man. And again, I'm as guilty as anybody else of feeling like, you know what, these guys aren't there. These guys are that. You know, like, you got to be better. You know, Raptors need upgrades, all these other stuff. You know, of course, like, I think it's fair to critique the players. But I think especially after talking to them today and just seeing how dejected they are, man, like, you can't overstate the mental toll these guys have gone through. You know, it's, yeah, the season is fucked. I don't know else to say it. I'm sorry for swearing, but this season is effed. In terms of your 3 stars from this game, first star goes to Gary Trent, obviously. Junior with 31 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals. 12 of 22 from the field, 6 of 11 from 3, career high. So congrats, Gary. He's trying to bring positive vibes to the team. He really reminds me of that meme from Community, or that gif from Community, where Donald Glover is like walking in with the pizza box, that episode, and the whole house is on fire. And I think, you know, like, yeah, you see that gif a lot. But in any case, yeah, this guy's, yeah. I don't know. This guy's trying to bring Childish Gambino vibes into the locker room. And, you know, hopefully it works, man. These guys all deserve a vacation. In terms of your second star, I'm going to give that to OG. 20 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, a block. 7 of 18 shooting. He shot it efficiently early on, but kind of later on, kind of faded. Missed some shots. 4 of 11 from 3. Got to the free throw line twice. Yeah, I liked his overall hustle, his overall effort. The fact that we're feeling disappointed about a 2011 game with 3 steals, 3 assists, and a block from OG is pretty telling. He's been playing really good of late. And yeah, his defense is really solid. And then third star, I'm giving that to Fred. You know what? I don't care, man. I'm a Fred stan. I don't care. You know, I see it from this Brad's perspective. I see what he's going through. 18 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals, 4 blocks. This guy gives it his all. He's a complete gamer. He competes. I mean, yo, your point guard got you 5 steals and 4 blocks. Just take that in, man. This guy almost had like a 5x5 game. This guy came 1 rebound and 1 block shy of that. And that's unbelievable. And of course, the shot didn't always fall. You can say you got blocked a few times, man. I don't care. This guy's trying his very best for the team. And that's not all that matters to me, but that matters to me quite a bit at the moment. So In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, obviously multiple options to go with here. Justin Jackson was red hot in the first half. Darius Miller was like dropping like Yuta Watanabe and like holding his form and hitting some tough threes. And of course you got Mary Brown's chicken with 20 and 11. But you got to go with Svi Mihalyk, man. This guy was Mihailuk. I don't know how to pronounce his name, and I don't want to be like a Bill Simmons because I feel like that's mad rude. I mean, if people can't pronounce my Chinese name either, and that's why I go with William. But in any case, Svi was clay tonight. I think Svi is Ukrainian for clay, because this guy was pulling up on us, man. I haven't seen a guy just pull up and shoot over the top of our guys since game six, Klay Thompson, man. This guy was shades of that, giving me real, real, real scary thoughts in terms of his 22 points and 9 rebounds. Yeah, good for Svi, honestly. Good for everyone on the Thunder. Listen, people can lose. Obviously, the Thunder are pretty much actively tanking. But, you know, they seem at least a little bit upbeat about it, which, good for them. Good for them. You know, I wish that the Raptors could bring in some of the talent that they have managed to bring in. You know, you look at like a guy like Moses Brown, for example. Like, you know, if he was available, why didn't the Raptors sign him or sign someone equivalent to his talent? You would just hope that the Raptors could use their last two open roster spots and sort of cycle through guys. Not just to, like, necessarily bring in talent, but just to, like, bring in some, like, guys who can, like, play and some fresh bodies. These guys are really in a tough spot. So hopefully they can do that. But yeah, anyway, to them, man, Steve was great. All props to him, 22 points. And, but honestly, a lot of these guys, this is a whole team full of Gerald Henderson Award guys. So, you know, the Thunder played a really good team game, had us, you know, seven players in double digits. This is a super, super young team and they played really well. And the Raptors, road weary, just couldn't get it done. So that does for the podcast. I would say, if you can go listen to the post game interviews, it's going to bum you out a little bit. But just see the dejection in these guys' faces and not necessarily like give them a pass, but just like try to understand from their perspective why some of these things are happening. So appreciate everyone for listening. And yeah, I will be back later this week when the Raptors play their next game. And hopefully they win. You know, honestly, I know we're, you know, it's pivoting to a tank and everything like that. The Raptors, honestly, at this point are in such dire straits. They're going to lose. Don't worry about, oh, man, they got to put in guys to, like, lose and stuff like that. They're going to lose because of all the circumstances and all that stuff and lack of talent. They're going to lose. And at this point, obviously, for me, I recognize that the tank is fine. Like, I understand the importance of losing in these stretches or whatever, or, like, the value that losing has now as compared to later. But I'm saying, honestly, like, the Raptors are just in such a bad spot. Like, they can afford to win once in a while. You know that? Just for their little emotional well-being at the moment. Because, yeah, the Raptors are a half game behind the Cavaliers for the fifth best lottery odds. They are a game and a half back of the Orlando Magic for the fourth best lottery odds. And you might say, well, there's no way they're going to get below those guys. The way they're playing, I don't even see a way for the Raptors to really win. So, yeah, they're probably going to get up there. And when you're fourth, I mean, you have a 48% chance of top four. And you don't need to bottom out completely. Like, you don't need to be the Sam Hinkie Sixers. Like, there's the lottery odds have flattened. So, there's almost no difference between pretty much, like, fifth. If you're the fifth, you know, worst team, you have a 42% chance at the top four. And if you are the absolute worst team, you have a 52% chance. So that's a 10% difference. You know, Raptors at this point are trending clearly in that direction. And hopefully they, you know, at least even if they do go that direction, at least just get some wins here. Just to see these guys sort of cheer up a little bit, man. I mean, I'm sure mentally it's tough. So thanks everyone for listening. I appreciate it. And I'll be back next game. Subscribe to the newsletter as well. Thank you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.